Well, 2 weeks ago, this past Tuesday, I had the privilege of finding myself at the His Hands Extended devotional study. It meets at 7 o'clock Tuesday mornings and Thursday mornings at Pathway Bookstore. By the way, if you've never been to that, you ought to think about it. It's a group of people from various denominations, almost every Christian perspective in this town, 100, 150 people who gather together. My dear friend Max Morris began this some time back. And it's a great time when we gather together for devotion and to pray for and minister to one another. I don't always get to go. I try when I can. And that particular Tuesday, I had an early morning appointment in Chattanooga, but I really wanted to be at that particular devotion. The reason was I had heard that Dr. Don Battle was going to be speaking. Now, if you don't know who Don Battle is a professor at Lee University, an eminent scholar. I had heard very much about him, but I had never actually heard him speak. And so I wanted to hear what he had to say. And so I went that morning, and I want you to know I wasn't disappointed at all. Dr. Battle did a masterful job. He took a text out of the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and he just opened it up and made the Word of God just come alive for all of us in that devotional study. But I have to tell you, about halfway through his comments, about 10, 15 minutes into it, or 7 or 8 minutes into it actually, it's only a 20-minute devotion, but about halfway through his comments, he made a statement that absolutely arrested my attention. It so seized my focus that after that, I just couldn't get back to the sermon. It was not a very complex statement at all. It was a very simple statement. In fact, I doubt that most people would find it as impressive as I did, but that one statement just totally arrested my attention. I don't know what he said after that. I'm sure it was quite good because what he said before that was quite good. But after that, my mind never came back to his message. You know what that's like, don't you? You know, sometimes I'll make a statement and your mind will take off and it never comes back. Usually that statement is something like, good morning, welcome to First Baptist Church, and you know, and you take off. Well, that happened this morning, that particular morning. He made that one statement. Now, here's the statement he made. He was talking about Christians being careful how they walk in the world, that we must walk as Christians should walk. And then here was the statement. He said, because we represent another way. That's all he said. Not a complex statement at all, but he said, listen, we need to be very careful how we walk because we represent another way. And when Dr. Battle said that we represent another way, my mind latched onto that like radar, locking on, and that's as far with him as I went. I just took off, my brain just took off, and I thought to myself, he's absolutely right. We do represent another way. In fact, the Bible carries it one step further and says, not only do we represent another way, we actually represent another world. 1 Peter chapter 1 says that we are pilgrims and strangers in this world. The old spiritual says, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? Well, the truth is, you and I represent another way. We represent a whole other world. The question is, what is this other way all about? What's it like? And more importantly, how well do you represent it? This morning we're going to talk about those things. Take your Bible. I invite your attention to Matthew, if you will. Open them up. Look in Matthew chapter 7. In a moment we'll begin reading with verse 13. Only going to read two verses this morning. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 13. We're going to talk quickly this morning about the other way and how well you're living it. Now, if you were with us a couple of weeks back, you'll recall I was in Ephesians chapter 5. We were in the midst of a study that we entitled Becoming the Person God Saved You to Be. We ended that study, but I want to remind you, on that particular Sunday 2 weeks ago, we were talking about walking the way of Christ in the world. And I made the statement that you and I are to walk as Christ would walk in the world. We're to walk in His way. Now, when I said that, I'm not sure that we fully grasped how radical a statement that is. If you and I walk the way of Christ in this world, our life will not be somewhat different. Our life will be radically, radically different. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. Look, if you will, verse 13 and 14. I'm going to read them before I give you the context, and we'll actually go over it twice. The second time around, I'm going to have you underscore some things. Verse 13, Jesus is speaking. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, one more time, go back and look at those two verses. As we go through them, mark and note certain things. Verse 13 again. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Put a circle around the word destruction. And then underline this last phrase, and there are many who go in by it. Now, verse 14. Because narrow is the gate and difficult. Please note, my translation says difficult. If you have an NIV or some other translation, it will not use the word difficult, but take note of that. Difficult is the way which leads to life. Underscore or put a circle around the word life, and then underline this last phrase, and there are few who find it. Now, do you understand what Jesus is doing? He's giving you a comparison between two different ways, radically different ways. He says there's one way, there's another way. There's a broad way, there's a narrow way. He said, now the way of the world is the broad way, the way of the cross is the narrow way. And he says these are radically, radically different ways. Now, to understand this, you need to know something about the context here. This passage of Scripture is part of a larger segment of Scripture that we generally refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. Easily the longest and most famous of all the sermons of Jesus is this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Incidentally, if you are interested in this kind of thing, if you really want to study the preaching of Jesus, Matthew is the book you ought to study. Just for information's sake, let me tell you a few things about that. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all have a different personality. Mark is the most concise account of the life of Christ, just the facts, please. Luke is the most detailed account. He was a historian as well as a physician. John is the most elaborative account. It's almost like the amplified gospel. But Matthew, in many ways, is the most instructive of the four Gospels. Matthew includes more of the preaching of Jesus than any other of the gospel writers. In Matthew 13, for example, you have what's called the Sermon by the Sea that deals with the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In Matthew 24, you have a sermon about the end times that deals with the second coming of Christ. But in Matthew 5 through 7, you have the Sermon on the Mount. Now, let me tell you what this sermon's about. This is a sermon about the Christian ethic. It's about living the Christian life. Maybe I should say it like this: living Christianly. How to live the Christian ethic in the world. John Stott calls this the manifesto of Christian counterculture. And that's exactly what Jesus has in mind. Now listen to me. Jesus has this in mind when he gives you these two verses. He's thinking of the way of the cross, his way, as being totally countercultural, absolutely the opposite of the way of the world. Two ways you can go: the broad way, the narrow way. Did you know the first century Christians were called the people of the way? That was their designation. They were called the people of the way. What way? The narrow way. All right, here's what we're going to do. There are three distinctions that Jesus gives of this narrow way, and I want us to look at them. Before we do, let me tell you why this is important. As I was listening to Dr. Battle speak, and he talked about the fact that we Christians represent another way, the first thing that popped in my mind is that sometimes I don't represent the other way very well. And I got to thinking about that, and it suddenly occurred to me that many of us as Christians are far better representatives of the way of the world than we are the way of Christ. In fact, there are a lot of us as Christians who are not walking billboards for the narrow way, but we are like neon signs of the broad way. And that's what Jesus is dealing with here. You've got to understand this. If you don't get this, you don't get anything that we're talking about this morning. Being a Christian is not a somewhat different lifestyle. Being a Christian is a radically different life. And the emphasis is on the word radically. All right, let me show you what he's saying here. Take this apart for a few moments. He gives you three basic distinctions. First of all, he says that the narrow way, his way, is the way less traveled. Let me say that one more time. He said, if you follow the narrow way, if you follow after Jesus Christ, you will be choosing the way that is less traveled. Look again in verse 13. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult the way which leads to life, and here's the phrase, and there are few who find it. Please underscore that. If you didn't before, underscore that. He says, look, this way of life that begins with trusting Christ as Lord and then following after Him is the way few people ever go. Only a few, relatively speaking, not the majority, only a few will actually go this way. In fact, when he calls one way broad and the other way narrow, you need to understand that the emphasis is not on physical parameters. The emphasis is on demographic realities, and the demographic reality is this. Most people, did you hear me? Most people are not on the narrow way. Many go that way. Few go the other way. Most, are you listening? Most people don't go his way. Let me tell you what that means. It means most people you know are not going his way. Most people in this community are not on his way. Maybe even most people in this room are not going his way. That's a shocking reality. I mean, is it as startling to you as it is to me? I mean, what he's saying is this: most of the folks we know are lost, not saved. That's particularly a startling reality to those of us who have lived all of our lives in the Bible Belt. You do know, I guess I don't need to tell you this, but you do know that Cleveland, Tennessee is the Bible Belt. Anybody not know that? I've often said Cleveland is not the Bible Belt. It's not even the buckle of the Bible Belt. It is that center peg and the center hole of the buckle of the Bible Belt. This is Bible Belt Ground Zero. Capital City Bible Belt USA is Cleveland, Tennessee. I think I've reminded you of this before. About 10 years ago, my picture appeared on the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle. I mean, the major newspaper in San Francisco, me, Alan Lockerman, I was on the front page. It was a picture of me standing here at this spot in front of the church receiving new members. What had happened was two reporters had come to our town. They were doing an expose on Bible Belt values and Bible Belt politics throughout the Bible Belt, and they chose to start in Cleveland. I asked them why, and they said, according to their research, Cleveland, Tennessee had more churches per capita than any other town of significant size in the United States of America. At the time, Cleveland had about 40,000 people. I think it's closer to 50 now, but they had about 40,000 then, and there were 215 churches in this town. I've told you before, you cannot open a car door without banging it against the side wall of a church in this town. People come and visit. They say, we like the church. We'll be back after we visit the others. 5 years later, they come back to us. This is Bible Belt Central. Now, because we live in the Bible Belt, there is this assumption. Since we are so Christianized, that must mean that we're Christian. And our culture is so Christianized, must be everybody walking the right way. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I want you to know, if you follow after me, it is the way less traveled. Relatively speaking, only a few are going to go that way. As a matter of fact, he says, not only will only a few go that way, but many people who think they're going that way are really not going that way at all. Let me show you an interesting text. You are looking at verse 13 and 14. Simply skip down to verse 21. It is the same sermon, the same vein of thought, and then he adds this dimension to it. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now watch. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied? That probably means preached. But we've not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. And then I, Jesus, will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying a lot of people who think they're on the right way are really not on the right way at all. They're on the wrong way. They're not traveling the narrow way, but the broad way. They just don't know it. Have you ever been on a road thinking you're going to one destination and ended up in another? A number of years ago, my wife and children and I were on a vacation trip to Panama City Beach. We had traveled through southwest Georgia. We crossed the Florida line. We had come to almost to the city limits of Tallahassee. And I looked on the map and I saw a road that I thought was a shortcut. You know, take a right turn, sends you to the west. And the way I saw the map, it looked to me as though if I took that turn about an hour and a half, I would be in Panama City Beach. And so I took this road that looked like a shortcut to me, and we just took off, and we drove an hour and a half, and kids kept saying, where are we, Daddy? Are we there yet? 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 And I kept saying, we're almost there. We're almost there. In fact, I said, if you'll be very still and watch carefully, soon you'll see the city limit signs of Panama City Beach. I'm sure another half hour you'll see the city limit signs of Panama City Beach. Hang tight. We're almost to the city limit signs of Panama City Beach. And sure enough, an hour and a half into the drive, there were the city limit signs of Tallahassee. I had gone. Did you catch that? I had gone in a complete circle for an hour and a half. I was in Tallahassee, and then I left Tallahassee. I drove on one road for an hour and a half and got back to Tallahassee. To this day, my kids will not let me forget that. Whenever they're in the car and I ask for directions, they say, remember Tallahassee. It is absolutely possible to think you're on the right road and be going the wrong direction entirely. Now, that's what Jesus is saying. He says, you understand this. The way of following me, my way, is the way less traveled. Now, let me tell you why that's important and what that means to you. It means if you choose the way of Christ, you are choosing for yourself minority status. Does that make sense? If you choose the way of Christ, you are quite literally choosing for yourself minority status. You're choosing not to be part of the majority, but part of the minority. It means that you are taking upon yourself the minority view in almost every political, social, cultural, and moral issue. You're choosing minority status. Now that bothers a lot of people. From time to time we have church members who are upset about some biblical stand that we will take, and they make the argument that if we do this, we will not be politically correct. Let me give you this statement. If you haven't heard it before, hear it now. By definition, to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to be politically incorrect. There's just no other way. I mean, by definition, you can't be followers of the narrow way and be politically correct. You're choosing minority status for yourself. This is a hard thing for us to accept. In fact, this is so true that I would almost say to you that if you find yourself in agreement with the majority view of the culture, the society in which you live, you may actually be on the broad road, not the narrow one. You may be a Christian who's walking on the wrong path. And some have, and some do. This incidentally explains something. This explains why the hostility and disdain for the Christian faith. Why are people so hostile toward Christians? Well, we're the minority point of view. I mean, when you get right down to it, you may have heard the news. It was this past Friday. Horrible thing, terrible things happening at the Air Force Academy, Colorado Springs. Oh, such a terrible thing. There's evidently some sort of revival that's breaking out, and Christian students are sharing their faith, and horror of all horrors, young men and women are giving their life to Christ. Wasn't that a terrible thing? Now people are all up in arms. The liberal end of things is saying there's a separation of church and state. We've got to, isn't it terrible, these young men and women who a year from now, or maybe less, will find themselves in Iraq, many of them facing death. Oh, what a horrible thing that they've now come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and they're eternally secure. Isn't that a terrible thing? Why all the hostility and disdain toward Christians? Well, it's simple. We are the minority point of view. The Bible says that we are peculiar people. Do you know why the Bible describes us as peculiar people? It's because we are peculiar. Got it? Or at least we're supposed to be. If you follow Jesus Christ, it is the way less traveled. Let me give you a second thing. The question arises, why is it that so few people want to follow the way of Christ? Well, it's the second truth that Jesus gives us. The reason so few follow this way is because it not only is the way less traveled, it is the way most difficult. Let me show you what he says here. And again, keep in mind, I'm reading from a New King James translation. Let me show you something about this way that he says is most difficult. Verse 13, quickly. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. But then he says, and this translation says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Now, again, if you have an NIV or some other newer translation, it may not have the word difficult in there. But this translation uses the word difficult. And I'll tell you why in just a few moments. What's he saying, though? He's saying that this way is less traveled because this way is most difficult. It is the more difficult way to go. This way is not the easy way. It's the difficult way. Now, the reason he uses the word difficult, let me explain it now. Rather than narrow, as some translations do, the interpreter here is giving you the implied meaning of the Greek word. The Greek word is the word narrow, but the implied meaning is difficult. And that's clear when you read it in the context. The implied meaning is this. If you go the broad way, the way of the world, that's easy. Go the narrow way, the way of Christ, that's tough. Now, I think we've missed this at some point. In fact, I think we misrepresent this. It's amazing to me. You can see this on Christian TV, religious TV a lot. There's this idea that if you follow after Jesus Christ, oh my, what a great way to go, you know? We sort of portray Jesus as being the missing piece to the puzzle, and when you have him, the puzzle fits perfectly, and boy, once you follow Christ, it all falls together, right? Man, it doesn't fall apart, it all falls together. You come to Jesus and life will be joyful and fruitful and productive, and oh man, just come to Jesus. No wonder you're so confused, you haven't come to Jesus. No wonder you're so depressed, you haven't come to Jesus. No wonder you're so sad, you haven't come to Jesus. No wonder your life is such chaos, you haven't come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, and none of those things will be true. Where'd you get that? Jesus said, this way is narrow, it's difficult. I don't know how we managed to miss it. It's all over the scripture. For example, Jesus said, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself and take up his, what? Cross. That sounds tough, doesn't it? He said, if you're going to follow me, you may have to give up lands and houses and leave father and mother. That sounds tough, doesn't it? Paul said, if you follow Christ, your body must become a living what? Sacrifice. Jesus was speaking about righteousness of a child of God, and he says, look, if your eyes offend you, pluck them out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot leads you, your feet lead you into sin, cut them off. He was speaking in hyperbole, of course, but it sounds tough. Doesn't that sound tough to you? This is difficult. This is not easy. This is difficult. Now, we have to ask a question here, and the question is, what's so difficult about it? I mean, what's so difficult about following Christ? At this point, you're going to have to become a bit cerebral. You're going to have to think with me. I think the thing that's so difficult is the fact that it is so narrow. The thing that's so difficult about the way of Christ is that it's such a narrow way. It just doesn't fit everything. In fact, let me give you the literal meaning of this Greek word for narrow that's translated difficult in this translation. The literal meaning is a compressed place, a tight place, a tight squeeze. How many of you have ever been up on top of Lookout Mountain to Rock City? Have you ever been there? How many of you know it exists? Okay. If you go to Rock City, there's this trail that you follow, you walk along, and then there's this passageway through the rock called Fat Man's Squeeze. You know what I'm talking about? Fat Man's Squeeze. I haven't been through Fat Man's Squeeze in a long, long, long time. I didn't say I couldn't go through. I just said I hadn't been through it. But if you go through Fat Man's Squeeze, it's just you. You can't go through with a backpack on. You can't go through with a suitcase in your hand. If you get through at all, it's just you. That is, in a sense, what he means when he says his way is narrow. It's a tight squeeze. See, the other way, the way the world is easy, it's broad. It encompasses and accommodates all kinds of things. But the way of Christ is narrow. It simply will not accommodate very much. You can go the way of the world, you can go the way of the culture, and it will accommodate anything you want to believe. In fact, the cry of the gospel is whosoever will may come. The cry of the world is whatsoever you wish to do, you can do. And if you go the way of the world, it encompasses and it accommodates any belief. You want to believe in Buddha or Confucius or Sun Yat-sen Moon, or you can want to believe in Jesus, or you want to believe this or that or the other. Hey, the way of the world accommodates any belief. It also accommodates any lifestyle. The way of the world, the way of the culture will accommodate any agenda, any philosophy. But here's the problem. This is what's so difficult. The way of the cross will not accommodate all of those things. First of all, the way of Christ is the narrow way. It will not accommodate any belief and every belief. Logically thinking, we would say that the better way is the way that it accommodates anything and everything you want to believe. By the way, if you believe anything and everything, you actually believe nothing at all. But see, you can't just believe whatever you want to believe and come His way. It's very narrow. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. That's very narrow. Don't you think that sounds narrow? You know, the Bible says that there's no other name under heaven given to men by which man can be saved except what name? The name of, say it with me, Jesus. Yeah, that sounds pretty narrow. Kind of tough, isn't it, if you don't want to come that way? The Bible says all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says any who receive Christ shall be called the children of God. Man, that sounds narrow to me. That's what makes it so difficult. It will not accommodate just every and any belief. It also, His way, Christ's way, will not accommodate any and every lifestyle. Sorry. I mean, there's some ways it just simply will not accommodate. There's some lifestyles, you know, you just can't, if you want to live them, you can't follow Christ. I'm sorry. I mean, if you want to live what you might refer to as an alternative lifestyle of some sort, sorry. I mean, you have every right to live that way if you wish to live that way, but you just, it doesn't fit the narrow way. And I want you to know, Christ's way doesn't fit every agenda. One of the things you learn when you walk the narrow way is that it's about Him, it's not about you. See, this is what makes it so difficult. Now put that together for a moment, and that brings us to a third question. Pastor, if the way of the cross, Christ's way, is less traveled and more difficult, why in heaven's name would anybody ever get on it? It's a good question. You say, Pastor, if you're trying to sell me on the gospel, you are really doing a rotten job. If I'm here this morning about to decide between Christ and the world, you have just about made the decision for me. Why would I want to follow Christ along a way that few people travel and is more difficult to go? Well, there's only one answer. And the answer is what Jesus Himself says in the third distinction He makes. Watch what He says. He says, this is the way less traveled. This is the way most difficult. But He says, but this is the way to life. Watch this. Verse 13 again. Enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. That doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't it seem logically and rationally to you that, you know, the broad way would be the way that leads to life? I mean, human logic tells you so. But verse 14, because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life. Now listen, and please don't lose me at this point. Why would you go a way that is less traveled and most difficult? Because Jesus said it is the way to life. And please note, if you will, the exclusive dimension here, the exclusive nature of the article, the. He said it is the way, not a way. He said it's the way. Jesus said it is the way, not one avenue or an avenue. He said it's the way. He says it is the way, not one of many possible approaches, but it is the way. Very exclusive, isn't it? The way. That's it. It's the way. There is none other. It is the way. Have you ever heard someone say, well, all religions are basically the same. They're different roads just that are going to end up in the same place. How dumb is that? That doesn't even make sense geographically, let alone spiritually. If I go out here and get on the interstate and go north, and you go out here and get on 64 and go east toward Ocoee, you think we're going to end up in the same place? Are you that dumb? If I go north, you go east, we're not going to end up in the same place. If I get on a road going, where does 64 go? Ducktown, I like the name. You get on the interstate going north to Knoxville. Are those different places? Isn't that amazing? This idea that any old way will do, just won't do, that's what Jesus is saying. He says, look, why follow a way that most won't follow? Why go a more difficult way? Because it is the way, exclusively so. The way. Jesus said, oh, wait a minute. Wait, I forgot something here. Please note who said this. Jesus said this. This is not what Allen says. It's not what the Southern Baptist Convention believes. It's not what you find, you know, exclusively to the Baptist faith and message. This is what Jesus said. Do you remember Him, by the way? Remember Him, the one you say is Lord, the one you say you follow, the one you say is the one who forgave your sins, your Savior. That one, Jesus said, He said, He, Jesus said, He who, Jesus said, it is the way to life, period. You have to understand what He's trying to get you to do here. With this, we'll be done. He's actually trying to get you to consider not the immediate concern of your life, but the ultimate conclusion of it. He says, if you want to consider the immediate concerns, what's easy and fun, you'll get on the broad way. If you dare to think about the ultimate conclusion, you'll put yourself on the narrow way. In fact, think of it like this. What He's trying to get you to do is dare to have enough faith to believe that it's not the moment that matters, it is the end at issue. Now, that's a good statement. That'll preach. I don't have time to preach it, so just write it down. It isn't the moment that matters, it is the end at issue. It is the way to life. Now, here you have it. Two choices. Broad way, narrow way of the world, way of the cross. Two choices. All through the Bible, those choices are mentioned. In Deuteronomy, Moses said, I set before you life and death, choose life. In Joshua, Joshua says, choose you this day whom you will serve. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, there are two ways, broad and narrow. Two choices. Listen. Two choices. One chance. Two choices. One chance. Broadway, narrow way, choose, and this life is your only chance to make that choice. When this life is over, there are no other chances. This is it. This is your time. Choose wisely. So I guess the question is this, which way are you on? If you're not on the right way, the narrow way, the way of Christ, the way of the cross, which is the way that leads home, would you be willing to get on that way? And if you are a Christian, you have accepted Christ, how well does your life represent the other way? Are you a walking billboard for the culture or for the counterculture of Christianity? Let's pray together. Father, this is a tricky word, a sticky word to deal with. It's a word of absolute, and it's a word that's definitive. It's not one of these maybe this or maybe that kind of words. This is a word that has basically said, make up your mind and choose. The reason this hit me so hard, Lord, is because when Dr. Battle made that statement, I realized that my life doesn't always represent the other way. There are those times when I have been a walking billboard for the culture, when I've looked and sounded and acted like a Broadway person rather than a narrow way believer. And I have to be the first to confess, if anyone else is going to, I need to be the first to say it's tough walking the way that few go. It's easy, and I like going the way where most people travel. And I want to believe that the culture is right. I want to believe it because that's the easy thing to do. And I don't like being in a minority. I don't like the hostility and disdain that we feel, and I would rather not be in the minority. But when all is said and done, I want to follow you, Lord Jesus. And your way is the narrow way. Forgive me for the times when I have stepped off the path and turned and gone the wrong direction. I chose to enter the narrow gate to believe that you alone are my hope. The singular hope that I have is that your death on a cross, that death on the cross paid the penalty for my sin. And I hold to that and I cling to that. And I've walked through that narrow gate of belief. And I want to stay on that narrow way of following you. Jesus, I want you to be not just Savior of my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. And I want you to forgive me for the times when I've not obeyed you. In this room are people who simply need to say, yes, Lord, yes. I'm not sure exactly what your Spirit is saying to them, but I know your Spirit is speaking. I pray we walk out of here on the narrow way, not ashamed to be different, not ashamed to be in the minority, not ashamed to have others scoff at our belief. As the Apostle Paul said, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For any man, woman, or child in this room who's never received Jesus, God, give them the conviction, the courage, and the Holy Spirit power to choose today to follow Christ. It is the way of the cross that leads home. Bear that to our conscience, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place and do a wondrous work. Draw your people further down the narrow way. Do an awesome thing that only you could get the credit for. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.